From unsolved mysteries to unexplained phenomena, from comedy gold to relationship fails, Amazon Music's got the most ad-free top podcasts. Included with Prime. Download the Amazon Music app today.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Welcome to The Walkthrough.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Holy Cow, the Week 9 edition of The Walkthrough. Of course, I'm the authentic one, Mr. Matty Q. I'm joined by the host of America's Game, Mr. Eric Vanek. Eric, what's poppin'?
Not much, man. Getting ready for week 9 here. We've got a Baltimore and Miami game this evening, so that should be interesting. But yeah, ready to get into it.
Yeah, man, I'm just going to tell you, your mic is a little low. I don't know if you got to hit the little wire.
Yeah, it might have been that. Better
there
now.
There it is. It's perfect. Okay. Yeah, and then also, we are off to a bang-up job, because I also put that in the chat that your mic was low, not the private chat. So we're off to a great start. We're off to a fantastic start, but you know what? That's what we do. You would think, E, me and you now have podcasts, obviously, every single week for this show, but we've also ran back-to-back America's Games together, going over all the Dynasty rankings update. You'd think we'd be lockstep four, but maybe we're just a little too overzealous. We're a little too excited. Week 9's here. The fantasy season's in the throes. We're in the mix of it. We're trying to find out if we're contending, if we're selling all this stuff. It's a lot of fun, so we're going to go through each and every game, as we always do. Also, before we move on, make sure you are subscribed to the South Harmon Fantasy Football Channel. Smash that like button. Leave a comment. Let us know. How good are we doing? Are we good? Are we great? Are we fantastic? Let us know. And also check out America's Game each and every week. But like I said, like I've been guest starring the last 2 weeks, so I have a little bias in these last two episodes. I think they're the best ever, if I just have to say so myself.
Yeah, it's been the last 2 weeks have been fun doing that with you and you know, kind of going over my ranks for the rest of the season so far. And yeah, it was a good time.
It's a good time, and the good times are going to keep rolling because we got the walk through tonight, a good football game, hoping for a lot of fantasy points down in South Beach. And then we also, you know, we're going to get into each and every game, but Halloween, just 24 hours away. Maybe by the time you listen to this, you've already partaken in the festivities of Halloween. I don't know. But without further ado, let's get into the first game of the Week 9 Sunday slate. The 4-3 Chicago Bears head to Cincinnati to take on the 3-5 Bengals. Bengals getting 2.5 points, over under 51.5. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Minus 148 for the Bears, plus 124 for the Bengals. Let's start with the Bears side of things. Caleb has been an absolute stinker lately. Back-to-back good matchups, green matchups, back-to-back under 15-point performances. Does he turn things around? And what does it look like for all of his weapons that apparently all missed practice on Wednesday?
Yeah, so I was just looking through a lot of the practice notes. So I think Rome and DJ were limited. Swift missed. So, and Luther Burden is out probably with a concussion. So honestly, I would probably prefer a lot of other guys over Caleb Williams this week. So yeah, if I could avoid him, I could, even though it's a great matchup. You know, Justin Fields actually had success against them last week. So it's hard to bench him. I mean, if you're stuck with him or Geno Smith or him or Tua, like, I get it. I'm playing Caleb. But if I have, you know, somebody that's relatively close, like, I would probably play Bo Nix over him, you know, even though Bo Nix has a little tougher matchup, stuff like that.
That was the exact question I was going to ask, because Bo Nix has been on fire, but it's got a tough matchup this week. So who are you going with? You're going to go with Nix. Let me ask you another one. You're going to play Caleb Williams or Sam Darnold on Sunday Night Football?
I think I'm going to go with Samuel Darnold coming off the bye. I think they'll be ready to go.
Yeah, baby. I mean, it just has, if you really look at Caleb Williams' season, it really boils down to two things. I think we talked about this, but it boils down to two things. It is the first drive of the entire season, that scripted drive that was absolute perfection, in the Dallas game. If you take away those things, he's been dreadful.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of catch-up time in the Commanders game, but for the most part, it's been dreadful for Caleb. So I'm looking to bench if I can.
Would you play Jackson Dart or Caleb?
I would play Jackson Dart, because at least Jackson's been a little bit more consistent with the legs.
Okay.
Caleb's rushing's there. Like, he's running the ball a decent amount, but it's not amounting to anything. He has two rushing touchdowns. The first one came on that first drive. It seems like he just gets the team to the 8, gets a false start, stalls out in the 13. It just, who's their kicker again? I keep thinking Cairo Eddie
Santos.
How many Cairo Santos fucking field goals are we going to get each and every week? And it's just becoming the Bears are relying on Swift and the running backs to score. And if they don't, they can't seem to have been petering out these last few weeks.
We kind of talked about it on America's game. Like, is Caleb going down the Trevor Lawrence, Kyler Murray route? Like,
mm-hmm. He looks like Kyler Murray.
Yeah, they were the number one overall pick, all three of them, but none of them make the team better. Like, they're not Tom Brady. They're not Peyton Manning that make the lesser guys, Peyton Manning made Austin Collie and Dallas Clark fucking superstars. Like, I don't see Caleb making these guys superstars.
Yeah, and at what point are we, and I know we're going to stop ranting about Caleb, but I think it's just frustrations need to be talked about. What would this team look like if they had a replacement level quarterback? And I don't mean
Tyson Bagent,
a bum. Dude, what if this team, what if Ben Johnson had Jared Goff with these weapons?
Yeah.
I just feel like there's a lot left to be desired, but this is a week that even with the matchup, I'm out. I'm not playing Caleb Williams. I'm just benching his ass. But let's move on to the running backs, because Swift, two DNPs, trending in the negative direction. Right now, I do have Swift as my running back 11 on the week, because the matchup is the best in fantasy right now, going against the Bengals. If he were to miss, how high should we regard Kyle Manungai?
Man, I think he would probably be in my top 15 in a really good matchup, and they don't use Roshan at all. And if Swift misses, Roshan would probably get in there, but it's probably 80-20. Mm-hmm. And there isn't any other running backs that I know of off the top of my head that are there. So, yeah, I think he would be a top 15 play for me if he was in there.
You want to hear the most ridiculous name game that maybe of all time? Something that if I would have said this a few months ago, you probably would have never agreed to do this show with me every week.
Sure.
Would you start, and this is if Swift sits, would you start Manungai or Ashton Jeanty?
I'd probably go Manungai.
I have Jeanty at running back 14, so, I mean, that is the threshold.
Right.
And you might be saying to yourself, nah, I'm going to go Jeanty. That's fine, but I think that you'd have a decision to be made. I think if you drafted Javonte Williams at the late rounds, you took Jeanty with the first round pick, but you had Manungai on the bench, waiver pickup a couple weeks ago, you'd have a freaking decision on your hands, boy.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
All right, real quick, so it's enough Bears talk. This isn't a Bears podcast. It's a Week 9 slate breakdown. So just run through these pass catchers. What can we expect? We finally see it come together. Does DJ Moore eclipse 12 points for the first time this year? How does it look?
I think so, yeah. I think this is – the Bengals are just a defense that gives up a lot of points, passing, rushing, whatever. So I think they'll have success. I'm playing my Roma Dunzes. I'm playing my DJ Moores. I'm hoping Cole Kmet misses so I could play a Colston Loveland. I think Burden's definitely going to miss. So Zacchaeus, I think, is somebody that could definitely be a flex play for you.
Yeah, if you're relying on, if you've been relying on Egbuka, Brown, Garrett Wilson, these Devontae guys, the team's on bye. That might be a good swift little pickup, picking up Zacchaeus right now.
If you're relying on Jerry Jeudy.
If you're relying on Jerry Jeudy, you're not listening to fantasy podcasts because your season is over.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the Cincinnati Bengals side of things. Joe Flacco, how is he trending? What do you see him? Do you think he's going to play with the AC joint sprain?
Yeah, he was limited to start the week so far. So I think it's all right now. Like, I'm not too worried about it. you know, he didn't get any DMPs or anything. So I think Flacco will be all right. And he's, it's still a good matchup. All you got to do, throw the ball to Chase and Higgins and Fant, and he's good. And, you know, Chase Brown's been getting a little better too. So, yeah, I like Flacco this week.
Yeah, you got to play him. You got to play him. He's been absolutely fantastic. If he does play, especially if he gets in that full practice on Halloween, mm-hmm. I'm going to put him inside my top 15. I'm going to have him borderline quarterback one on the quarterback one in fantasy this week. It's been there, and he's the kingmaker. He's saving our seasons for all our Bengals, you know, team. So at this point, we tip of the cap to the old man. You know, shoulder's probably not feeling too great, but at 41 years old, does anyone's shoulders really feel all that great?
So, right.
Then maybe he's able to just tough it out. I think he can make it happen. Everyone in the chat, shout out to you guys. Thank you for tapping in. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you leave your questions, start, sit, trade, whatever. We'll get to each and every one of them. Are we finally going to get the Travion Henderson breakout week?
I don't think so. No, I'm going to go no.
No, I don't think so either, because I think Ramondre plays. I just, something in my gut says he has a play.
Yeah, he's limited to, and the one thing I looked at last week, I was looking at Travion stats, like he had the 70-plus rushing yards. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, what did he do in the receiving? Big fucking zero. Nothing. Zero. I'm like,
and he fumbled.
Yeah.
So he left with 5.5 fantasy points, and it was his best game of the year, and he had 5.5 fantasy points. I don't know if we're going to get that breakout. They're already talking about trading for another running back. They've added two guys to the practice squad. They elevated Smith Tyrell Smith or whatever it is?
Terrell Jennings.
Terrell Jennings. He's elevated to the active roster. He's going to split carries regardless of who's active Sunday. And a breakout can happen, but it ain't going to come on volume. It's just going to come on breaking off a big run because Atlanta's rush defense hasn't been great. So we'll see how it happens in Foxborough on Sunday. I have a ridiculous wide receiver room. Ladd, Chase, Rice, Tet, Pickens. Which one would you trade for a back?
I'm guessing this is for redraft. I would probably say my lowest guy on there is probably Pickens. If it's for redraft this year, I think I would kind of lean Tet just because like that quarterback room could just go crazy like south really quickly. So I would probably go Tet. Like, I don't think he's going to – I mean, he just got his first touchdown last week. Like, I don't see this guy putting up – you know, 10 touchdowns the rest of the year. He's probably going to end up with like 5 or 6. So, yeah, I'll probably go Tet there.
Yeah, I think Tet would be the, you know, my last ranked guy in one to trade. But I will say this, since it is redraft, you don't have to worry about the future ramifications. I'm keeping Chase. I'm keeping Rice. I'm going to trade whatever I can get the best running back with, whether it be Ladd, Tet, or Pickens, I'm going to go ahead and follow that route. I'm going to chase that trade. But in terms of just simply the guy that I would start with, it would be Tet. I'd start with Tet.
Right, yeah.
Dynasty question, would you trade Caleb for Dak? His other quarterbacks are Bryce Young and Jackson Dart.
I think, if you're contending the rest of this year, I think I would do it. I think if it's for dynasty purposes, I think I would rather hold on to Caleb just because he is younger. But if you're trying to go for the championship this year, I don't fault you for that because you could probably get a little bit of a plus there on top of Dak to help you out. Like, can I get, you know, Dak and a starting running back? Can I get Dak and Tyrone Tracy for Caleb? You know, something like that.
Completely agree. And you do have Dart, so you will have youth in that quarterback room for your dynasty purposes. So I think that's a move to make, especially if you're looking to win now. So let's move on to the next game, a battle of NFC North rivals. 3-4 Minnesota Vikings head to Detroit to take on the 5-2 rested Lions. -8.5 for the Lions, over under 48.5. -500 for the Lions, +380 for the Vikings. It sounds as if J.J. McCarthy is going to play. So what does that mean for this Vikings offense? Can we trust it? Are we excited for Jeddah, for Addison, for Hockenson? How do you see it playing out?
I think the only guy I trust throwing into my lineup is Jefferson. Like, I don't want to play Hockenson. I don't want to play Addison. I don't want to play the running backs. Like, maybe Aaron Jones I could see doing okay, but I don't trust Mason. I don't trust Addison. I don't trust Hockenson. So I'm not in love with it this week.
Yeah, I'll play Jefferson reluctantly. I still have him as, you know, the number 8 wide receiver, but it hasn't been a boom season for him in general. especially with JJM, it has not looked great. This is not a good, you know, real matchup in terms of the defense. Minnesota's been pretty good. They've been relatively weak, I'd say, against receivers, especially. So I will play Jefferson, but I'll look to make other arrangements with Addison. Hawkinson hasn't done anything. Awful. He's been absolutely terrible. I don't even have him in my top 15 at tight end this week. Yeah, I'd go to the well. I'd play Andrews. I'd play Barner. I'd play all those guys over T.J. Hawkinson this week.
The one league I had him starting, I had him and Juwan Johnson, and I'm glad I dropped Juwan Johnson for Gadsden 2 weeks ago. So that's paid off.
And Vegas thinks they're going to score about 19.5 points, one of the lowest totals in week 9. So I'm not playing these running backs if I can help it, unless you think for some reason the defense is just going to stymie the Lions, which...
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Yeah.
I don't really.
I had to throw some Mason in this week just because I don't have any other options that are going to play. So I'm hoping for Mason falls in the end zone, but that's about all you can hope for.
Yeah, last week it was rough, brutal, not great. And on the Lions side of things, it's pretty obvious. We kind of know what we're doing, right? Everything is
startable.
All systems go. The only question I do have to ask, Jameson Williams, are you trusting him in this week?
Yeah, I'm going to him. Like they've talked about, you know, the offensive coordinator talked about, you know, he needs to get him to go in, all that kind of stuff, all that rhetoric. So, yeah, I'm going with Jameson Williams this week for sure.
And what's our rule with Jameson? If you see a Vegas implied total for the Lions above 27, you play him.
Off a bye. Yes. They're going to want to get him the ball. I'm sure they've been scheming up plays and shit to get him the ball. So, yeah, I'm firing up Jameson.
The 4-4 Carolina Panthers head to Green Bay to take on the 5-1-1 Packers.
They've won
Packers.
4 games? Holy shit.
4-4. Shout out to the gritty kitties from Carolina, baby. -13.5 for the Pack, 44.5 over under. One of those hilarious college football week one money lines, +700 for the Panthers, -1100 for the Pack. Is Bryce Young back in this game, Eric?
Yeah, he is a full participant today, so Bryce Young will be back. Sounds like Dowdle is going to be the guy, and Chuba is going to take like the secondary role here, so I'm kind of expecting like a 75-25 kind of split there. Tet's the only receiver I want to play. I don't want to play anybody else. Like I have to throw Coker into a couple and just kind of hoping Coker and Bryce Young have that connection, but that's about it.
Yeah, you know, you're going to play Tet. You're going to have to play Tet. You just can't really bench him right now. Yeah. It's a soft matchup. Green Bay's not great against receivers. You're going to play him, especially with Bryce back. But other than that, it's Tet. It's Dowdle. See how it plays out. Hope they're not blowing smoke up her skirts when they talk about the split and it finally goes to one guy. Sick of this 50-50. Give it to one guy and let it roll. Hopefully that's Dowdle. He's been really good when he's been getting the you know, the rock, when he's been the featured back. Then on the Packers side of things, you're going to play Jacobs. You're going to play Love. You're going to play Kraft. But these receivers, it was tough to pick before. It's gotten worse with Christian Watson returning. How would you rank these guys? Are you trusting any of them in week 9?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great matchup. Like, somebody's going to have a good game. I would probably shy away from Matthew Golden just because it kind of seems like he took the back seat last week, so I would kind of shy away from him. I have put Christian Watson into some of my lineups. I could see him having a big game. And I like, you know, Romeo Doubs is a solid wide receiver 3 flex play. He has been all year long, so I'm playing him. Tucker Kraft is a top 5 tight end in the league right now. You're playing him. And Josh Jacobs, you're playing him. And there's a couple leagues, too, where I've had to throw Emmanuel Wilson in as, like, my RB2 because I just don't have anybody else. So I don't mind throwing Emmanuel Wilson in, who had a pretty damn good game last week.
Yeah, I mean, everybody other than the first-round pick, Matthew Golden, had a little bit of fantasy output last week, so we're hoping for a little bit of a bounce.
And Jaden Reed should be back within the next couple weeks, month or so, too. So that's just going to muddy it even more.
It's a tough situation. But if you have Jordan Love, you love to see the pass catchers surrounding him, and the offense is good. It's just we can't predict who's the pass catcher in any given week. Let's move on to the next game. The 6-2 Denver Broncos head to Houston to take on the 3-4 Texans. Despite the discrepancy in record, the Houston Texans are favored by 1.5 at home. It's that damn defense. We talked about it last week on Start Shit. Now we were just, you know, we were all over the, you know, the Niners in that game. We was getting some juice. We were wrong. Vegas was right. I lost my money. Either way, I don't know if I'll go back to it. I might just avoid. But either way, 39.5 over and over. Not over under. Not great. +110 for the Broncos. -130 for the Texans. So with this vaunted Texans defense playing at home, who are we trusting for the Denver Broncos in Week 90?
Man, I still like Bo Nix, but it's probably more back-end quarterback one territory. J.K. Dobbins has been a double-digit point guy every single week, so I'm starting Dobbins with confidence as at least RB2. Harvey got going last week, finally. They used him a little bit more, so I do like that. Cortland Sutton against Stingley is going to be a tough matchup. Like, I could see maybe this being one of Sutton's tougher games, but I still like him. Troy Franklin had a game. Marvin Mims is probably going to miss. He hasn't practiced the last 2 days, so there could even be a Pat Bryant sighting this week. Then Evan Ingram's not been terrible, so I think they need to kind of work on Ingram and getting Harvey going, so I don't mind playing some of my Broncos this week.
Yeah, the offenses look good as a whole. It's just what we're going to find out, we're not going to find it out, unfortunately, for a couple weeks, is the surge from Nix was at the matchups, because we were worried about Nix a couple weeks ago, and then he's went back-to-back nuclear games, but it seems like that Cowboys matchup is just the thing to get excited for. But we'll talk about that matchup later in the show. We're going to talk about a different Texas team. We're going to talk about the Houston Texans. C.J. Stroud has looked pretty good, you know, over 25 fantasy points last week. Will he be able to repeat at home against this Broncos defense? And how do you see this offense looking now with Nico Collins and Christian Kirk expected to be back?
Yeah, I saw Christian Kirk was back. I'm kind of hoping they just put Jalen Nolan there over Kirk.
Can they just cut Kirk? Just cut him.
We're going to have to see how it works, but I think Jalen Nolan's kind of proven the last couple of weeks, hey, he's a playmaker in this offense. Dalton Schultz has missed the last 2 days, too, so expect like Harrison Bryant's going to be their starting tight end or whatever it is. I don't love Stroud against this tough defense. I could see like a one touchdown game. I think you play Nico and Woody Marks, I think is probably the play at running back. That's probably it for me.
I agree. Nico has a tough matchup, but Sertan's not there. So that's, good for him. But, you know, bouncing back, how does it look? And we went into depth about Jalen Knoll. So if you want to really get what we think and kind of get maybe a little spicy take from one of us, check out America's Game. Anywhere you get your South Harbor podcast, go check that out. All right, let's keep this train moving. The 3-4 Atlanta Falcons head to Foxborough to take on the 6-2 Patriots. Patriots -5.5, over under 44.5. +210 for the Falcons, -258 for the Patriots. Michael Penix is supposed to be back. Drake London is projected to be back. How do we see this offense looking, E? Because we'll start with the running game. Bijan, one of the best players in all of football at his position. Patriots yet to give up 50 yards rushing to a single running back. What moves here? The unstoppable force or the immovable object?
Yeah, I think Patriots are looking really good right now. Falcons last 2 weeks have been brutal. Like the 49ers game wasn't that great. Like they just got ran all over, and Miami just took them to the woodshed last week. So for Atlanta, you're playing Bijan. It's probably not going to be great in the rushing yard department, but I think he's proven it every time this year that he can get it done in the receiving game. So I think that that's going to be a big receiving game for him. Drake London must start. Kyle Pitts has had two good games in a row, even though they've been shitty, the whole team. But Kyle Pitts has actually had two good weeks in a row. So I don't mind Kyle Pitts in this matchup either. But that's probably about it. Like, I don't really trust Mooney. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Bijan. I'm going to go with London. I'm going to go with Pitts, and that's it.
Bijan, top three play, because like you mentioned, he can get it done on one play. He can get stymied all game and break off a 75 touchdown pass, run, don't matter. He can take it to the house. So you play him all day, every day. This might be a bold take, but I would rather play Kyle Pitts than Drake London.
Interesting. I think that's very bold.
The Patriots have had their struggles with athletic tight ends. We saw it in week one against Brock Bowers. We saw it last week against with Harold Fannin. They do struggle with the athletic tight ends. And this week, the talk up here is this week is where Christian Gonzalez starts to make that big, big extension. Because he hasn't really gone up against number one receivers since he's been back. This is a test. If Christian Gonzalez can ball out against a guy like Drake London, it is going to do a lot for his, you know, reputation and his expectations, all that stuff. So they're going to come out, and they've been good against receivers anyway. And the Vegas, they don't think they're going to score a lot of points. I think that Pitts would be my play if for some reason that was my flex decision or whatever.
Will he move into the slot to go up against London?
He probably won't move into the slot, so they'd have to move
him
into
the London's been feasting, though, so lately.
Yeah, that's a good call.
They finally moved him into the slot, so it should be an interesting matchup for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I still got London as a top 20 play, not avoiding. Yeah. I'm just looking at, I got Pitts as my tight end 4. I think he could get 12, 15 fantasy points, and I think London here, I haven't projected around 12. So slight, little bold, but that's just where I just wanted to bring that up because Patriots have struggled against the big body athletic tight ends.
Okay.
You know, the Patriots side of things, Drake May, let's rock, let's roll. He's just a guy each and every week. Stephon Diggs, you chase his number one pass catcher. But I want to talk about the running backs because so far, Ramondre Stevenson has yet to practice. We talked about Travion briefly. So it's just, at this point, I think it's going to be the Drake May show, right? So we're going to play Drake. We're going to play Stephon Diggs. But are we playing Butte? Are we playing Henry?
I think
how do you see the passing
play, game? Yeah, I think you got to play Butte. Henry's been awful the last couple of weeks. I know he had a touchdown last week, but I think it was...
That's all he's had.
Yeah, that was it. Like, every other game's been like 20 yards, 30 yards. Mm-hmm. Like, it hasn't been very good. So I don't love Henry just until he starts getting going again, but it's like Butte's kind of taken over there and Diggs. You know, they still have a couple of these other guys, but they haven't really used them yet. So, I'm going to start Butte. I'm going to start Diggs. I'm going to start May. And then whichever running back starts, I'll start him.
Are we playing Kayshon Butte? Are we playing Rashid Shaheed against the Rams?
Ooh, that's a good one. Shaheed just came off a pretty good game, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to go Butte. I'm going to go Butte because I forgot. Tyler Shuck's in there, and he's fucking garbage.
Kayshon Butte or Christian Watson?
I like Watson this week. I just got a feeling, so I'm going to go Watson.
Last one, Christian Watson. Kayshon Butte or Troy Franklin with a tough matchup?
I'm going to go Butte on that one.
Moving on here, the 5-3 San Francisco 49ers head to the Big Apple to take on the 2-6 New York Football Giants. Giants are getting 2.5 points at home, over under 48.5, -142 for the Niners, +120 for the Giants. Do we finally see the return of Brock Purdy?
Yeah, he's been limited to start. I think it's looking pretty good for him to start this week. McCaffrey, Kittle, all those guys are in there. Jennings, Bourne, so they should be all right. Like, I thought last week they would... you know, beat up Texans after a great game against the Falcons. And then just last week was awful. I like the 49ers this week. I think even though it's on the road, traveling to the East Coast, 1 o'clock start, all that stuff. Like, I think I like the under in this game. But I think the 49ers get it done.
Will we ever see Ricky Pearsall again?
I'm hoping so, but he has that, you know, that MCL sprain, and, you know, we haven't talked about the Chiefs yet, but Pacheco's got the same thing, so Pacheco's probably going to be missing a month or so, or whatever it is, so it kind of sucks, but hopefully he gets back in there soon.
Can you know, Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid, all the head coaches, can you just do the fantasy gamers a service? If they're going to miss a month plus, put them on the IR, don't make us ride the on IR, off IR in our spots. It's annoying. We have to drop plays we don't want to drop. Guys, don't think about Super Bowls. Don't think about your billion-dollar franchises. Think about us, the fantasy nerds, and how our rosters can be constructed for once. And on the Giants side of things, no Cam Scadabaugh. He is done, so it's the Tyron Tracy show for the rest of the year. Jackson Dart, we talked about it. We're going to play him. He's been good with on the legs, good at getting the ball out. But how do you see the rest of the guys? So Tracy, we'll be playing him for sure. Let's start there.
Yeah, I think Tracy's a RB2. He was good last year when he started. I think he's just fine to do it again this time. So, yeah, I'm going to fire up Tyrone Tracy, RB2 for me. Wide receiver-wise, I think Wandale's getting a lot of the targets, so I'm fine playing him. It's not the 49ers secondary doesn't scare me at all, and they don't really have a pass rush to speak of either. So, Darius Slayton, I want to see him get going finally, so I think he's like a flex play for me. And Theo Johnson's been pretty solid too, so I play some Theo Johnson as well.
Yeah, I like Wandale. Got him as a top 30 play this week, so let's play a little name game with him. Wandale Robinson or DJ Moore?
I think I'm going to go with you, man. I think DJ Moore finally starts getting going, so I'll go with DJ Moore.
From your lips to the fantasy gods' ears, my friend. Wandale Robinson or Khalil Shakir in the game of the week?
Yeah, I think I got to go Shakir with that high over-under for sure.
And last one, Wandale Robinson or the wide receiver one in Jacksonville, Travis Hunter.
I'm going to play Travis Hunter. Coming off of the bye, I bet you they schemed up some shit to get him going against the Raiders. Yeah, give me Travis Hunter.
Ooh, I can't wait to get to that game. So let's keep it moving. 7-1, the unstoppable Indianapolis Colts head to Pittsburgh to take on the 4-3 Steelers. -3 for the Colts, over under 50.5. Love it. -166 for the Colts, +140 for the Steelers. For Indy.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
I think we've now come accustomed, you know, grown accustomed to what to expect. You're going to play Daniel Jones. You're going to play Jonathan Taylor. You're going to play Tyler Warren. You're going to play Michael Pittman. Is there anything else in this game that you're excited to play? Or are you trying to fade any of the usual suspects?
I'm playing Alec Pierce. I've put him into a bunch of my lineups this week. So picked him up a bunch too. So, yeah, I'm playing Alec Pierce. This is the right matchup for it, where the Steelers secondary is dog shit. Mm-hmm. And they are like the bottom of all the DVOA stuff for, you know, all these positions. So, yes, fire me up some Alec Pierce. I think Downs is going to be back too. I think Downs could be fine. Downs is like a wide receiver 3 flex play with all the guys on bye. So, yeah, I think, you know, 3 receivers, a tight end, a running back, quarterback. I'm going to play all those guys for the Colts.
And if you're wondering, you know, it is outdoors at Pittsburgh. Sunday looks cloudy, but 55, not too bad. So if you are looking to play the deep threat, you know, Antoine Pierce, as he's been known to be called, I like that call. I think that's a nice, swift play, especially for some of our desperate rosters, our redraft injury-plagued squads. This is a guy you pick up, play, and hope he just goes 3-for-70 and a touch. And yeah, it's absolutely on the table. On the Pittsburgh side of things, A-Rod, we're going to play him against this matchup because this is the matchup you want to play the borderline startable quarterbacks because we're expecting points to be scored.
Yeah, I think I'd play Aaron Rodgers, but he's probably like a middle quarterback too for me. You're playing Jalen Warren. I think Gainwell could be like a, you know, if you need a RB2 to throw in there, I think he could get some receptions in this one. You got to play DK Metcalf just because he's their number one, even though, like, you know, it's a struggle to get to like 50 yards. Mm-hmm. I think Calvin Austin could have some big plays, so I don't mind him. Roman Wilson had a big play last week. I'm not trusting that. That was his first, like, big game ever. So, yeah, no thanks. The tight ends, good luck. Good luck. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you there.
Avoid. There have been so many. There's been so many tight ends that have emerged in fantasy this year that you shouldn't have to start any of those guys. Right. I mean, there should be no reason to have to start any of the Steelers guys, given what is out there, what's probably on your free agent, you know, what's on your waiver wire right now. And I agree, even though DK has been frustrating, and I think he's a massive sell in all formats based on just the volume in this game with the soft matchup, with the high over-under, 5-for-50 could turn into 7-100 and touchdown based on just the back and forth nature of this, you know, potential game. So you're going to play DK. I got him ranked pretty high this week. I got him at wide receiver 14. Okay. The 5-3 LA Chargers are heading to Tennessee to take on the 1-7 Titans. Woof. -9.5 for the Chargers. 43.5 over under. -520 for the Chargers. +390 for the Titans. Chargers side of things. Herbert.
Yeah, yep. I think this is easy. You fire easy. Every up Charger you have. Your Vidal should be great.
Yep.
All three receivers should be great. Like, I think Quentin Johnson can get back rolling. Gadsden, you're playing. Herbert, you're playing. Titan side, I think I'm playing Tajay Spears. That's about it. And Chimera DK has been pretty decent, too.
Yeah, if you're in an absolute bind, you could go with DK.
I think another one, too, is Gunnar Helm. I think Chig has missed the first 2 days of practice, yes, so yep. Gunnar Helm could be someone that could sneak in.
Yeah, I was going to bring him up, too. He's been pretty good. Even with Chig on the field, he's been the preferred guy. So we might be looking over an absurd. Would you play Helm or one of the Pittsburgh Steelers guys?
I think I would play Helm. I can't trust these Steelers ones. I don't, you know, Janu, he might get a touchdown, but he can barely get over 30 yards. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, if you're playing some weird league where you just get a position on a team and you just get Titans, Steelers, TE, sure. But if you have to pick a player, no way. I'm going with Helm, which I think is everything you need to know. And if you were stuck maybe starting one of those guys, I got a little bug flying around my office. If you were stuck playing one of those guys, there's your answer. Just go pick up Helm. He's probably widely available in most fantasy leagues, especially the redraft ones. We talked about one bully beatdown earlier in the show. Here is the other bully beatdown game of the week. The 1-7 New Orleans Saints head to La La Land to take on the 5-2 Rams coming off a bye. Saints +14, 43.5 over under, +700 on the juice for the Saints, -1100 for the Rams. Spencer Rattler out, Tyler Shuck in. What does that mean for this Saints offense?
Yeah, I was looking at their stats for last week. I don't know the splits of, with Rattler, with Shuck. I didn't really look at that. But, Olave still did pretty good. Rashid Shaheed had a bunch of targets. Juwan Johnson's done good again the last 2 weeks. I'll probably play those three. Kamara's an RB2 at best for me. Like, I don't really trust him, and that Rams defense, I think, gets after it. That's probably all I'm playing for the Saints, though.
I mean, if you can make other arrangements for Kamara, I would, which hurts to say, but this is the stone worst matchup in fantasy for backs. Vegas implied total for the Saints. Do you want to take a crack at it?
2.
Close.
Probably like 16.5.
15.
15, okay, that's close.
Yeah, you were close with 2 also, which, which is everything you need to know. And I love Olave this year. The volume's been the quintessential thing that we've been chasing with him, but I just don't know what to expect. I'm playing him. Still got him at wide receiver 25, but who knows? This could be just a failure across the board. This might be brutal.
Could this be for the older people in the chat, they'll know what I'm talking about. Could this be the Nathan Peterman game for Shuck?
six
interceptions. Yeah.
I mean, you talk about soft landings for these rookie quarterbacks. Kellen Moore was like, fuck soft landings. We're going to throw this motherfucker off the highest cliff in the mountain on the road with the Rams coming off rest with that pass rush. Oh, my God. Pick up the Rams DST, everybody. Pick up the Rams DST.
Yep.
And on the Los Angeles side of things, there's not much analysis needed. Stafford's been on fire. Puka's going to be back. Kyren's awesome. But I want to ask you this question. We talked about it briefly on America's Game, but I want you to bring it to the walkthrough crowd. What are we going to do about the tight end? Is it Terrence Ferguson time coming out of the bye?
I think it could be, yeah. He was starting to get going here, but it's another one kind of like the Steelers. Like, there's going to be 3 or 4 of them that play, and I don't know which one I'm going to start. So in a lineup league, I'm not starting any of them. Best ball, sure. I might be able to get them. Devontae Adams, we didn't mention. I'm starting him. I think another guy that you could start in a pinch is Blake Corum. Like, I could see maybe second half here, they're up 30-0, and hey, let's get Corum going here. So it could be Kyren and Corum getting home this week.
I have a league where my running back 2 slot is a matchup play between Ramondre and Isaiah Pacheco. Both may miss in week 9. If I can't swing a deal, which I might not after what you just said, I might just put in Corum. I got Corum on the bench.
Yeah, it's kind of like we thought with Tyler Allgeier last week, but it didn't happen.
Well, he scored. He did score.
Yeah. I mean, I could see Corum kind of doing the same thing, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it kind of seems like Corum, like, gets a drive or two to himself.
He does, yeah.
So I could see that being effective. So, yeah, I kind of like Corum as, like, you know, I just need a running back to throw in there.
And it's weird, the Rams, they kind of did things backwards, as you know, as we traditionally see these situations pan out, where they gave Kyron the ball every day, every single touch. Then they extended him, and they said, you know what, let's dial it back a little bit. Usually it's the opposite. Right, once you get the extension, it's wheels up. But they were like, no, you got the extension, you've earned it, now let's save those wheels a little bit, bud. Let's keep you healthy throughout the season. This next game here has some big-time fantasy ramifications. It could be, low-key, one of the most exciting games on the slate for me personally. Because I'm going to see the 4-3 Jacksonville Jaguars taking on the 2-5 Las Vegas Raiders. Both teams coming off of the bye. 2.5 points in favor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Over-under, 44.5, minus 155 for Jacksonville, plus 130 for the Raiders. On the Jacksonville side of things, Trevor Lawrence is booty cheeks. But we're playing two pass catchers this week, right? We're going to play both Hunter. We're going to play Brian Thomas. But how do you see it shaking out?
Yeah, I didn't check and see if Max Crosby's going to play or not. Even if he misses, that's big. Like,
huge.
This
yeah,
defense
is right.
Terrible without him. So I think Trevor Lawrence, this is probably one of his better matchups this week. So I'm throwing him in there. Like, I'd throw him in over Kyler against Dallas.
Whoa.
I'd throw him in over Jackson Dart with, ooh, you know, not a lot of options there. I do like Lawrence this week, because I think coming off the bye, they get, you know, hopefully get Brian Thomas going. I think they're going to have a plan here for Travis Hunter. Travis Etienne hasn't been good for like a month, but I could see him having a little bit of success in this one too. So, yeah, I do like Jacksonville this week quite a bit.
On the surface, I want to love Travis Etienne, but something in my gut says we might be looking at a little Bashaul Tootin getting more touches.
Yeah, coming out of the bye for sure.
If I've been relying on Etienne, I'm going to go back to the well, but it's kind of been we've seen things shift in the post-rookie bye.
Yeah.
That's where things get a little shaky. So there's a couple of situations up in the air. But from the pass catcher side of things, I like Hunter. I like Brian Thomas still. I have Brian Thomas ranked higher. But both guys are inside my top 30.
And,
so I think they could be a good game for both.
Right before the bye to that Rams game, like, Parker Washington was fucking killing it. Mm-hmm. So I want to see if Parker Washington takes that third spot from Dyami Brown and Parker Washington starts playing a lot more.
Please, let's get this thing going, Liam Cullen. And on the Raiders side of things, Geno, are we going to play him as a streamable quarterback? Because he's been diggity dog shit in half of these games.
No, and Jacksonville defense has been picking people off left and right all year, so that just spells disaster. I don't want to play Geno. I get it. You probably have to play Genty as an RB2. Mm-hmm. Brock Bauer should be back this week, so that should help. Jacoby Myers, but like, something tells me like they want to trade Jacoby Myers. Like, maybe they just don't give him the ball very much, like, to kind of protect him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's kind of what I think. But they also could feature him to trade him and get more value too. So I could see it from both sides. That's probably about it for me. For guys I want to play on the Raiders.
What I would like to see is a couple drives with Myers being proven that he's healthy so they can move him. And then let's move on. Let's get the Thornton, Jack Besh, Trey Tucker thing going. Let's see what that looks like. Let's see what the next iteration of Raiders pass catchers look like. Let's move on to let's give a chance to the young guys. Let's see how that looks. But Brock Bowers, if he's back, he's in your lineup?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to play him. If he's healthy, he says he's good to go. No injury designation carried through the week so far, so he should be ready to absolutely smash. Next game is the America's game of the week. The 5-3 super hot Kansas City Chiefs head to Buffalo to take on the 5-2 Bills. Chiefs losing 1.5 as road favorites. Over under 52.5. Tap it into my veins all day. Minus 130 for the visiting Chiefs, plus 110 for the home Bills. Let's start with the Chiefs side of things. Yes, yes, more yes.
Yep, Mahomes definitely. Kareem Hunt's going to be starting, so I think he's going to be the guy there. I think Breshard Smith is going to be a solid RB2 flex play for us. Rashee Rice, Worthy has been hit or miss with Rice back, but this is a high over-under. I think you got to play Worthy. Marquise Brown is dealing with an illness. I think he should be okay, but I'm not somebody I'm like, got to play him. Travis Kelce, you're playing, so I'm playing all those guys. Buffalo, probably playing all their guys too. Kincaid, James Cook, Shakir. I think Keon Coleman, he hasn't done shit since week one, but this is the kind of game where they need him, and they're going to have to throw a little bit. So I don't mind Keon Coleman as like a flex play wide receiver three.
I'm going to put my tinfoil hat here. Do you remember what team the Chiefs traded with to move up for Worthy?
It was the Bills.
It was the Bills. I wonder if they just got a few little tricks up their sleeve to say, nana, nana, boo, boo. We got him, you didn't. How's Keon Coleman treating you?
Yeah.
So I'm firing up Xavier Worthy, playing him in the flex. So you hate to say I'm going to play a guy I took in the fourth, fifth, or sixth round of redraft in my flex, but it's okay.
I got a couple on my one team. So I have Tet, I have DK, I have Worthy, I have London, I have George Pickens. I got to play four of those guys. Which one would you sit of those four or five?
Run them back again?
It was Tet, London, Pickens, Worthy, and DK Metcalf.
My rankings would say to sit Worthy, so I'm going to go with my rankings, but if you do want to play fun conspiracy game, then I would go ahead and sit Tet.
Okay,
and play Worthy. But I'm going to play London, even though I talked about the Pitts thing, but as I said, top 20 play.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about sitting maybe Metcalf, but I can see it.
Yeah, Metcalf is a dangerous game to fit, because I think if you just look at how each of those guys have been used, You're gonna chase the less, you know, the guy that's not getting volume in a game that's a 52 over under. But then you look at DK, it's a 50.5, 51. So it's tough. But I think that's where I'd go. I'd bench Worthy if you just want to go with the safe bet. But if you want to play a little fun and kind of go conspiracy wonky, maybe sit Tet. Moving on here, the first of two primetime games in Week 9. The 5-2 Seattle Seahawks head to our nation's capital to take on the 3-5 Washington Commies, -3 for the visiting Seattle Seahawks. 47.5 over under, -162 for the Seahawks, +139 for the Commanders. On the Seattle Seahawks side of things, we talked about Sam Darnold being a play over Caleb Williams, but where is he kind of sitting in your week rankings? Where do you draw the line on starting Sam Darnold in one QB leagues?
Let's see here. I would probably play Daniel Jones over Darnold. Stafford, I would play over Darnold. Try to look at some other one. Drake May, I'm definitely playing over Darnold.
Did you play Jordan Love over Darnold?
Yeah, I think so. I'd play Jared Goff over Darnold. I think you could have a conversation about Bo Nix or Darnold. I think, you know, I might lean Darnold in that one. I'd probably play Darnold over Trevor Lawrence, who we talked about a little bit ago, too. So, yeah, that's a few guys. I think Darnold or Kyler is another interesting one. I might lean Darnold in that one, too.
We can have no trust in Kyler Murray for the rest of the season if he can't get it done against the Cowboys. But we'll talk about that matchup here in a second. And on the Seahawks side of things, let's put a bow on it. JSN all day, every day. Doesn't matter, JSN. Yep. But Barner, is he a play for you this week?
Oh, yeah. That was the guy I was going to mention here. The linebackers for Washington, Luvu and Bobby Wagner, are old and slow and dog shit. Kelce just had a monster game against this defense. I think Barner's a guy I'm going to definitely play this week quite a bit. So, yeah, A.J. Barner, probably a tight end one for me this week.
Start, sit, Cooper Kupp.
I think this game could be a little higher scoring, hopefully with Jaden Daniels back. So I don't mind Cooper Kupp in this matchup. It hasn't been great this year, but I think he could be good this week.
And the last question for this offense, running backs, talk to me. Who do you like better?
I got to play Walker. Hopefully off of the bye, they can get him going a little bit here. But if you can play them both, if you have both, I play them both. Like, I got one league. I have them both, but my other running back is Derrick Henry, and my flex, I'm going to have Travis Hunter. So it's like I can't play Charbonnet over either of those guys. So I'm just going to kind of go with Walker and hope and pray he's the one that gets it this week.
These running backs is a plug your nose and play. Like, you don't want to play either of them, to be frank, but I would play both of them.
Yeah, I think Walker's the more talented guy, so I'm going to go with the more talented guy, but Charbonnet just keeps at the goal line stealing the touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. And we'll absolutely chase that in fantasy. So, yeah, it's not great, but they're both there for the taking. On the Commander side of things, no Terry McLaurin. Seems like we're handing down a lost season for Scary Terry. But Jane Daniels is expected to be back. So with their, you know, ace returning, how do we see this offense do we see it kicking up a notch? And also make sure you take a second about Bill, because we're the fork in the road on Ja'Cory Cross-Kamara has been stuck. Is he good or is he bad? Because he's had the data says he sucks.
Yeah, I think with Jaden in there, he's going to be a little better. But he's probably an RB2-ish back end for me this week. I would probably rather play Tyrone Tracy over him, you know, so
me kind too.
Of somewhere in that range. Trying to think of who else. Like, Debo should be solid. Debo. Zach Ertz, I think, is going to be solid. You know, trying to pick the other receiver is not the easiest thing to do, so I probably just avoid them. But go Debo, Ertz, Krosky, Merritt if you have to, and play Jaden and just kind of hope he gets the rushing going.
And I think if you're in an absolute pickle at the running back position, Jerry McNichols may not be a bad play, especially if you see that 47.5 over-under and you want to take the over. McNichols might not be a bad play. Over 10 fantasy points last week, he's had over 60s. More than 6 points each of the last 3 weeks. So this seems like the floor is semi-safe. We're in the dredge of the season, so I'm not talking about a top 30 running back here, but somebody in PPR format, you could do worse, I think, than Jeremy McNichols. A couple questions before we get into the Monday Night Football game. We talked about it briefly, but answer this for J-Dog, especially Bo Nix or Sam Darnold.
I think I'm going to go with Darnold, just because he's got the easier matchup, in my opinion. Like, Mahomes just beat up on this team a little bit, and Bo's got a tough matchup against the Texans. It's in Houston, I believe, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so, I mean, we just saw them put on a clinic here against the 49ers at home. You know, they're going to be more amped up. So, yeah, give me Darnold.
Would you move Terry McLaurin in a 2027 second-round pick for Michael Pittman?
I think the answer's yes, but I could end up regretting it too. Mm-hmm. So I could see both sides here. If I'm contending and I'm going for it, I think I'm okay with it, because I don't even know if Terry plays the rest of the year the way things are going, and it's a 27 second. Like, I like the 27-7. I would rather do a 26 second if I could, and keep my 27. So yeah, if you're going for it, I'd go for Pittman. He's been a top, 20 wide receiver this year, if not higher.
You are going to regret this trade at some point over the next 18 months. I'd still do it, though. I still think you get enough return in the here and now with Pittman that you can live with the regret later. Maybe get a 27 second a year from now. Work on it. Maybe you sell Pittman for the 27 second next year when you filled out your roster somewhere else. So, yeah, I think I'm doing it. All right, last game on the Week 9 slate, my friend. The 2-5 Cardinals take on the 3-4-1 Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys minus 2.5 at home. Over under, ready for this one, 54.5. Yeah, baby. Plus 124 for the Cardinals, minus 148 for the Cowboys. You've kind of brushed on Kyler not really producing at a top level. So if that is the case, what do you see this offense doing in a matchup that expects a ton of points?
Oh, man. I don't love Kyler. I want to see it some more. Like, I don't think this offense really meshes with his style, and hasn't been great this year, but I'm still playing McBride. He's a top two tight end. Marvin Harrison Jr. you're going to play. Zay Jones has been doing good the last couple weeks. He's been a guy I've picked up off of waivers in best ball leagues, but that's been with Brissett too, so we'll see what happens. Running backs, I think I'm playing Zonovan Knight in a couple of spots. I think he's got a good matchup as like an RB2 this week, especially with all the buys and stuff. But that's really about it for me on the Cardinals side. Like, there's probably some other quarterbacks I'd rather play over Kyler.
Let's just say this. Let's say Kyler is a surprise inactive. We get the news Saturday morning. He's not going to play. How high would you have Jacoby Brissett in this juicy matchup?
I probably play him over Darn or Dart. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably about the range right there. Yeah.
So like top 15.
Yeah, top 15-ish. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And on the Cowboys side of things, is there any analysis to be had? Start them, smoke them if you got them.
Yeah, I mean you're playing all your Cowboys. You're playing Dak. You're playing Javonte, CD, George Pickens, Ferguson. Even though he had a shit game last week. The one thing that I did like is they finally put Ryan Flournoy in as the third receiver over Jalen Tolbert, and that hopefully that continues. So I wouldn't mind Flournoy as our desperation flex play.
Can we hope for another blowout and a little Bazooka Joe in the fourth quarter again?
Yeah, that'd be nice. Could happen for sure.
What a ball though! What a fucking ball that was in the back of the end zone to Tolbert.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a cannon on him, man. But he's one of those, I like to see it in little small spurts. I don't want to see it for 4 or 5 weeks. No. Because it's going to be bad.
No. It's going to be bad. But, yeah, you're going to play Dak all day long. You're going to play all these guys. It's going to be a good game of Monday Night Football in Jerry's world. It's going to be very exciting. And I think the Week 9 slate is going to be an exciting one at that. This is the episode. That's the walkthrough. We went through each and every game in Week 9. E, tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me at Eric Vanek NFL on X. Sunday mornings, join me and Maddie, 12 noon Eastern, right here on this same channel for the Start Sit Show, helping you guys out with all your Start Sit questions. It's been going pretty well over the season so far. Had a lot of fun with that. Alan Seslowski has joined us a couple weeks, so that's been fun to have Alan on as a special guest. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. So appreciate you doing this with me, Maddie, every week, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a great ride. We still got plenty of weeks to go, so it feels like we've been doing it forever, but we still got a long ways to go, and I couldn't be more excited to come back for Week 10. But people, while you're here, make sure you subscribe to the South Harbin Fantasy Football channel. Smash that like button. Leave some comments. Let us know what you like about the Week 9 slate. I'd say you could find me on X at Matty Kiwoom, but I have been hacked. I have been blocked out of my account, so if you get a DM from me, it ain't me. If you see a weird tweet about crypto, it ain't me. Trying to get it back. If you know someone at Twitter, holler at them for your boy. Let me get my account back. But that's going to do it. Make sure you go to southharmonff.com, get the Warp Tool, get all that good stuff. And we'll see you next week for Week 10, baby. Peace.
Welcome to the walkthrough.